welcome to Albion Insights. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. I am recording this today on the 19th of March, and the trial is supposed to start tomorrow, where I am accused of either inciting hate or, bearing in mind all the circumstances, hate was likely to be stirred up. And I'm recording this in case everything goes wrong. There's obviously no intent to incite hate against anyone. The whole point of the website is to encourage virtue among our people and to pursue legal and democratic means to solve the problems that we see happening in society, problems that we identify as stemming from the government policy of multiculturalism. And it's always been quite clear on the website that it's multiculturalism that's being criticised, not the individual peoples, the individual groups. And you certainly can't blame an individual for the behaviour of a group, because the chances are the individual that you're going to meet is not going to be responsible for any of the perceived negative behaviour of a group. And that's not what we're about. When we talk about the differences between these different people groups, it's just to highlight the fact that they are different. They are measurably different, not just in what they look like, but also with just about every statistic you care to look at, that there is a different average. There's a different average IQ. There's a different age range for being fertile or going through adolescence. There's a different fecundity. There's different incarceration rates. There's different blood groups. All sorts of differences that there are between groups. And obviously, we are interested in that. We are nationalists. We are proud of the fact that we are different to these other groups, and we wish to preserve that difference. And we think that multiculturalism destroys those differences and prevents the chance for a culture to grow in the way that it would naturally grow if it was on its own. And that's why we have all these different unique cultures around the world, different expressions of culture. We lose those unique individual expressions of culture when we have multiculturalism. But I'm sure you already all know that. So I thought what I would talk about today is how this happened, how this led up to, what led up to me being taken to court. Well, back in 2019, I was arrested. But the story goes back even earlier than that, really. In 2017, Hope Not Hate went to an MP and told the MP that at Radio Aryan, we have been promoting a group called the System Resistance Network. And the System Resistance Network were later designated as a terrorist organisation. We had not been promoting System Resistance Network. I had a co-host at the time who was called Alex Davies. And we mentioned System Resistance Network twice. In one podcast, he brought them up and said that their propaganda was very likely illegal, and it made him blush, or even made him blush, words to that effect. The next time we mentioned them, they had vandalised a disabled toilet in Cardiff, I think it was, and we utterly condemned the vandalising of a toilet. We said that anybody that has anything to do with this group is either getting involved with idiots that vandalise things, or is getting involved in a group which has been set up by the state, because nationalists don't go vandalising toilets. Nationalists don't go graffitiing badly drawn swastikas places. Nationalists don't go desecrating graves. All of these misplaced ideas that the public have about nationalists, they're all false. And in instances like that, most of the time, they're hate crime hoaxes. They're carried out by people hoping to make something like that look like a hate crime. So we thought it could have been two reasons. Could have been the state trying to set up an organisation. And it did turn out in the end that people that joined this organisation were being told that they had to carry out a ridiculous act like vandalising a toilet. So, I mean, it does look as if it may well have been a state operation, or the Secret Service may have been involved in there encouraging people to do these silly things so that they could then take them to court afterwards. Either way, we told people to have nothing to do with this organisation, which is the complete opposite of the allegation that Hope Not Hate made. So Hope Not Hate went to, I think it was the MP of Cardiff, I'd never heard of him before, Doty, I think his second name is. Don't know what his first name is. But they went to this MP and they told this MP that we had been promoting this group, Radio Aryan had been. So this MP went to the police and the police said, well, if there's any crime that's been carried out, we assure you there will be charges brought against them for this crime. And the BBC wrote to me and they asked me about, just another point. The BBC made this programme and not once did they actually play any of a podcast where I allegedly said anything positive about System Resistance Network or whether Alex or anybody at Radio Aryan, it was at the time, said anything about people should join this group, because we didn't. And the BBC didn't play any either, although that's what they alleged throughout the programme. As I say, they got this MP then to call for Radio Aryan to be investigated. That was in 2017. And at the time, I made a podcast in response to this, pointing this out, that I've gone back, had a look at the podcasts at the time that they were referring to, and there was nothing positive said about this group. So then we just carried on with Radio Aryan. I thought, should I go to the police station and say, look, this is a false allegation that's been made, you're welcome to check out the podcasts? But I thought, well, they're likely to say, well, who are you? You know, if I say, well, I'm Sven Longshanks, they'll say, well, anybody could be Sven Longshanks, could say that. Or they might say, well, we've never heard of you. I mean, which police organisation do you go to? Which police station would you go to? Or something like that. So, I just left it at that. I thought, well, we're set up. We're not inciting any hate. We're not doing anything wrong here. We're identifying multiculturalism as what's wrong. We're not directing people to attack minorities or anything ridiculous like that. We're just talking about issues in society, which are caused by multiculturalism. So 2 years later, my door got knocked down in December 2019. And shortly before that, September 2019, I'd organised the first Patriotic Alternative conference with Mark Collette. And Patriotic Alternative was unveiled to the world at that conference. And as well at that time, I changed the name of Radio Aryan to Radio Albion. And the reason why it was called Radio Aryan in the first place is because, and it said this on the website, is because the word Aryan, the root word, comes from a meaning of noble and honourable. And it is also used to refer to white people. It's a fairly old word. And it's more accurate than saying European. Because we talk about history here at Radio Albion, and we often talk about pre-Roman history, we talk about history in the Near East and in India and all these places, and you can't say that the people there were European, because they didn't originate in Europe. They were Indo-European, and the old word for that was Aryan. So you can't say Europeans were in the Indus River Valley civilization in 2000 BC, because they weren't. But they were white people. So it was accurate to say Aryan. But Aryan, of course, isn't very politically correct. And, of course, it brings up negative connotations. It even brings up negative connotations with prison gangs, which, of course, we didn't want. It's not so snappy to call it Radio Indo-European, though, is it? So we changed it to Radio Albion, which I would suggest shows that if the website was inciting hate and was likely to stir up hate, which means likely to increase in hate, the website would not have changed its name from Radio Aryan to Radio Albion. It would have gone in the opposite direction. It would have stayed at Radio Aryan, and it would have been, by that time, it would have been inciting people to take up arms and attack people, which it completely wasn't. We were heading in the complete opposite direction to that. We just started doing our Greatest Britain series with Lord Robert Baden-Powell, and I think we looked at Captain Cook at that point, and that was something that I wanted to do for a long time, was bring history into it. So the police came round, they kicked the front door down, and I had half a dozen of them in my bedroom. I think there was about 15 of them in all, and they took me off to a police station somewhere. I think it was somewhere in Cardiff, and they basically went through my house, took everything that they wanted. They took over 100 different items. Took computers, microphones. They took things that had nothing to do with the online radio, the internet radio. They took PA speakers. They took a large amplifier, a PA amplifier, clearly nothing whatsoever to do with digital radio. I mean, this is just amplification equipment that they took. They even took rags out of my car. Very bizarre. They took all sorts of stuff, and then they questioned me. They said, we need to question you about this. And I thought, well, I've done nothing wrong, and I know that my beliefs are not illegal. I believe what nationalism is a creed. It's something that informs every part of your life, the way that you hold yourself, the way that you look at things. Even the things that you eat can be related to nationalism, the clothes that you wear, the way that you look at history, the way that you look at religion. It's all through nationalist lenses, which I've always thought, well, that, it's a creed, and you are supposed to be protected if you have a creed. And I told the police this, and I gave them an interview, and I answered all their questions. They asked me questions about audiobooks that I had done on lynching in the South. And I said, well, that's a book from, I think, the late 1800s, early 1900s. And I said, it's all about statistics. It's all accurate. And it's basically pointing out that white people were also lynched as well as blacks. And the reason for these lynchings was because law and order had broken down, and because it was 100 miles away from a court. And if you had people living 100 miles away from a court, and you had, particularly if you had freed slaves there, and they had been riled up by the abolitionists, one of them might carry out a massacre. And then what you had to do was you had to punish that swiftly, which is what happened. And you also had white people that were badly behaved, and they, if they carried out a heinous crime, they would be lynched as well. And it was purely and simply because they didn't have a jury there. They didn't have a judge there or a court. So they effectively had to carry out justice themselves. That's why they're all present at these lynchings. But they asked me about that. They asked me about an audiobook that I did called The Painted Savages of England, which was written by a vicar in the Church of England. And the painted savages of England that he's talking about were the Picts. It was a quote from Julius Caesar. But the police seemed to think that it was to do with immigrants. What else did they ask me about? They asked me about the International Jew series, which was written by Henry Ford, which I said was a history of America at the turn of last century. Lots of bits of history that don't get told in the mainstream books. And it wasn't me narrating that, though I did host it. I said, yes, this is me, Sven Longshanks, and this is Radio Albion, and it was Radio Erin. You can call it either. So I gave them an interview. They said, you've accounted for yourself very well, they said. And they said, if everything that you say checks out, then you don't have the charges against you. So I thought, right, well, let's wait then. They took everything of mine. They'll be able to see very, very clearly that anything such as violence, graffiti, property damage, they'll see very clearly in my private social media that I've condemned that sort of thing. There had just recently been something of that order that had happened in Denmark, and I was having a private conversation with someone from Denmark and saying how awful it was, how terrible it was. So the police could see from my social media that I'm not somebody that supports violence, not someone that supports vandalism, and I've always identified multiculturalism as being the problem. So I thought, well, they're bound to just drop the charges, aren't they? And I didn't want people to know what had happened either. The radio obviously went quiet for 24 hours, I think it was. I phoned Mark Collette up straight away and said, Mark, can you order me a new computer, order me a new microphone? The police have taken everything. I'll pay you back for it, but I need to get back online again as quickly as possible. So Mark very kindly ordered the equipment that I need, got it delivered to my house, and I was back up and running again within 48 hours. And I just said, oh, we had technical problems yesterday. Didn't think anything more of it, really. And then we had COVID, and I was waiting for them to say, well, we checked through all your social media, and there's no evidence of you inciting violence or trying to hurt people or showing support for anything illegal. And then at the end of COVID, in 2020, I think it was, might have been 2021, because we're in 2023 now, aren't we? In 2021, they came to my door again, the police, And they said, oh, we've got to serve you with these charges. So they hit me with 15 charges, none of them to do with the trouble with the lynching in the South, none of them to do with the Painted Savages of England, none of them to do with Henry Ford's The International Jew. 15 charges on completely different podcasts this time. So from an original start of Hope Not Hate saying we were promoting System Resistance Network in podcasts, which we weren't, and an MP then saying to the police, will you investigate this organisation, please, or whatever it is, Radio Aryan at the time, to the police wanting to charge me on these other podcasts that they'd found, these audiobooks that I gave them an interview about. And then they obviously decide, no, we won't charge him for that. We'll charge him for 15 completely different podcasts that we haven't mentioned at all in the 3-hour interview that I gave them. So it's all extremely strange. It's like as if they couldn't find a problem that with what it is alleged that I'd done. They couldn't find podcasts saying that we supported System Resistance Network. So they thought, well, we'll let the police have a go. And the police said I had accounted for myself very well. And they didn't charge me with what the police had asked me about. And then they come up with these 15 other charges, which seems to me as if they're saying, well, he was able to answer the police. Let's see if he can answer a barrister these questions. So I'm now going to be going to court. It's 2 weeks that this is supposed to be going on for. As I say, I have not got a hateful bone in my body. There is certainly not any intent to incite hate. And the only way you could misconstrue things to claim that we were trying to incite hate is to take things out of context. What I mean by that is to take things away from a website which makes it very clear that the solutions we are outlining are solutions to multiculturalism and hide that from the jury. And then show the jury podcasts which talk about things like Enoch Powell's Rivers of Blood speech and highlight the bits from that that have actually come true today. And then say, oh, he's doing this because he wants to encourage people to hate non-whites and to resent non-whites. And of course, that's not the reason. What would be the point in doing that? What would be the point in getting people to waste their energy on hating non-whites or trying to do something to non-whites? It's not non-whites that are responsible for the government's policy, is it? It's the government. You know, you're never going to get changes made to government policy by taking out your frustrations on immigrants or minorities or illegal asylum seekers. It's just ridiculous. They're not the ones that are making these government policies that are having these negative effects. It's the government, and we've always been really clear about that. And if you talk about differences that people have, inbuilt differences, you're effectively saying you can't really hold these people to blame for that. If you're saying, well, you've got one people group here that has a lower average intelligence and a higher rate of incarceration, you don't hate those people, you feel sorry for them. And you say, well, perhaps you should be a little bit more lenient on them. The fact is that they carry out more crime because they've got a lower IQ and they can't change that. That's the way they are. And in actual fact, that is a defence, isn't it? In America, if you've got a low IQ, you can't actually be executed for your crimes. It's a mitigating factor. And if you also have a group which is more likely to commit crime, it means it's more likely to be the victims of crime. And you're not saying everyone in the group is a criminal. You're just saying that they have more than their fair share of criminals in that group. And even by saying it like that, they have more than their fair share. You're going to feel sorry for the ones that aren't, because they're going to have to put up with the ones that are. You know, there's going to be a lot of law-abiding people in that group, but they're going to have to put up with a lot of unlawful criminal types in that group. So you're not going to hate them, are you? You're going to cut them a bit of slack and you're going to feel sorry for them. Another way you're going to look at it is, well, if they've had that, they've always had that, and they will be the ones best placed to know how to deal with that. And that's why we get these problems today. That's why black people will say the white man's legal system penalizes us. It's racist. More of us end up in prison. It doesn't work for us. And they're quite right. It doesn't work for them because it's not their system, because they didn't develop that system. That system was developed for a group with a certain average of crimes, with a certain average of IQ. That's what that system was developed for. That's why it seems to people that don't have that same IQ, don't have that same average of crimes, it seems like they're being picked on because of the system. Whereas if they were just amongst their own people, it wouldn't happen, would it? They wouldn't be able to say, well, it's racist against me, because the system would have been developed by black people and it would have been instituted by black people. And this is what we see. We see particularly black people, but all non-whites, saying that they want to see themselves represented. And you see that when you see non-whites accepting awards like the Oscars, and they say, well, I'm doing this for all the younger versions of me that never saw themselves represented on the screen, never had somebody to look up to, never had somebody to show them that it is possible to get to these positions. So, and that's the same for everyone. Everyone wants to see themselves represented. Everybody feels most contented and comfortable when they are around their own people. And everybody feels slightly on edge when they're among another group of people with a different culture and different languages. And it just means that everybody is in a sense of heightened tension when you have multiculturalism. So you see groups like Black Lives Matter advocating for more black judges, more black teachers, more black police. And that's the reason why they want that, is because if they were just surrounded by their own people, they couldn't then say this system is racist. They couldn't then blame white people for it. And the chances are they would develop a system which actually dealt with the problems. I mean, they would probably develop a way that had a much swifter execution of justice than the way that we have, where you can end up waiting 1, 2, 3 years before you actually go to court. There's also the fact that a lot of black people will refuse to plead guilty anyway, because they think that there's a chance that they'll be found not guilty. So even if there's a lot of evidence against them, they will still plead not guilty, which can lead to them getting longer prison sentences. Again, it's because the system was developed by white people and it's been applied to black people. That's the root of the problem. You can't change black people. It's the same with Jews. You can't change Jews. Jews have been Jews for thousands of years. That's the way they are, and it serves them very well. It has meant that they have retained their ethnic uniqueness. It means that they have retained their ethnicity whilst being a minority amongst a majority. They have retained their ways of doing things and their separate religion, and they've done very well. Without having physical force, they've managed to gain the same amount of influence and power as the majority has. So you can't say that what Jews are doing is wrong for Jews. It's good for Jews. But there may be aspects of it that aren't so good for other groups in a society when it's multicultural and it's shared with Jews. For instance, things like usury. That's good for the Jews. That is good for them to make money for their own group with, and they refuse to engage in usury amongst each other. But if you're a non-Jew and you're paying usury, you can end up getting yourself into debt. It's not so good for you. You can look at Muslims. You can say, well, Muslims really don't like to see images. They see pretty much all images as idols, and particularly not images of Muhammad. And that's fine. If they don't want to see images, they don't want to see images of Muhammad. That's fine. That's part of their culture. It has served them very well for thousands of years, or over 1,000 years, I should say. But then if you put them into a territory with another group that does like images, does like pictures, does like drawing cartoons, you're going to have friction, aren't you? Because you're going to have one group that says, well, this is really offensive. It's so offensive to me that you've got this picture of Muhammad there, some of us may even think that that requires a death penalty. It's that serious. Yet then you have Christians who are quite happy to draw pictures of Jesus, quite happy to draw pictures of Muhammad. So you have this conflict there, because not everybody is the same. And you can't say, well, the Muslims are wrong for thinking that, because I'm not a Muslim. I can't judge Muslims. The only way you can judge a group is by whether its actions are conducive for that group. Are Jews thriving? You have to say, yes, Jews are thriving. Are Muslims thriving? Yes, Muslims are thriving. Are black people thriving? Yes, there are more black people alive today than there's ever been alive before in history. They most certainly are thriving. Are white people thriving? Well, no, we're not thriving, are we? We're not even producing enough to replace ourselves. And that's the root of the problem. The criticism is of white people, and the criticism is of the multicultural policy. The criticism is not of these other groups, and we are not encouraging hatred of these other groups. A few years ago, we may have used folks taxonomy. We may have used some language that people might find a little bit offensive, but it's no different to the language that you would hear down the pub, just from people talking about things and talking about these different groups. We do shorten people's names for these groups. You know, we call the Scottish people, we call them Scots. And people did used to shorten the word that we used to call people from Asia. No offence is meant by it. It's just shortening a word. And that is what they're going to try and use to say I'm inciting hate, is because I use just normal language to describe these things rather than politically corrected language. Not because I was actually encouraging people to go out and attack non-whites or anything like that, but simply because I used language which wasn't particularly polite. I mean, that's the situation that we are at today. And if you want to have a law against incitement to hate, okay, but what is the point of that law? Well, that law is there to prevent people encouraging others to have a feeling of hatred that is so much and so strong that they might go out and physically attack someone. That has to be the sort of hate that they're talking about, because otherwise the law is being used to try and legislate against an emotion and say, oh no, you can't feel hate. Well, everybody feels hate. The point of the matter is it hatred to a sufficient extent that would make you want to go out and hurt someone? That's the point. It has to be that's what the law was intended. It was to prevent people from inciting that sort of a hatred, not simply using terms that some people might find impolite or some people might find offensive. And that is going to be more likely to make the listeners hate the person saying those terms. It's not going to make people want to go out and harm black people. Anyway, I've got a lot of noise outside now. What I wanted to do was to let everybody know what had happened, how this came about. It was nothing to do with Patriotic Alternative. It goes back to 2017, really. And you'll only be listening to this if it all goes wrong. Hopefully it doesn't go wrong, and hopefully I get found not guilty. If they do find me guilty and you are listening to this, I have made arrangements so that Radio Albion should continue with the Orthodox Nationalist, Parish of the Patriots, and Patriotic Alternatives. So do stay checking out the website, because there will be new content on there. Okay, thank you very much for listening, and I will be back with you when I next can be. God bless, and hail victory.